This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you that by saving your cans, you help pass the ammunition. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Friday, April 27th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Harriet has what's playing at the theaters. The new farm guy will be, by my guess, to talk about farming.
Excellent guess.
We'll have the best doggone music from the 1940s hit parade as well. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Siegel Brothers, where mothers like good value for a good price, including boys' longies for $2.95 and up. Up where? Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The official junction of the U.S. and Red Armies has been announced by President Truman. Singing, dancing, sign language flourish as the Yanks and the Russians meet at the River Elba. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report with Arthur Brisbane in Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Brisbane here. President Truman announced a meeting of the Eastern and Western Fronts today in Germany. Press Secretary Jonathan Daniels announced the junction took place yesterday at the Elbe River town of Torgau, 75 miles south of Berlin. But Mr. Truman said U.S. and Soviet patrols met a day earlier on April 25th. The president said that as a result, the enemy has been cut in two and added, quote, "This is not the hour of our final victory, but the hour draws near for which the Allies have toiled and prayed for so long," unquote. The announcement was jointly released by the British and Soviet governments. President Truman added, quoting again, "The Anglo-American armies under the command of General Dwight D. Eisenhower have met the Soviet forces where they intended, in the heart of Nazi Germany. The last faint hope of Hitler and his gangster government has been extinguished," unquote. In Washington, this is Arthur Brisbane, calling Europe. Come in, Don Whitehead.
This is Germany calling. Correspondent Don Whitehead with KONEF's 1st Ukrainian Army east of the Elbe River. There is singing and dancing and music on the banks of the Elbe River today. Doughboys of General Courtney Hodges' 1st Army and jubilant troops of Red Army Marshal Ivan KONEF's 1st Ukrainian Army celebrated this junction, which the soldiers here believe is the defeat of Nazi Germany. Americans and Russians slapped each other on the back, gave each other bear hugs, and sat in the warm sunshine drinking champagne from beer mugs. The scene is the town of Torgau. Parts of it are deserted and ghostly, while in other sections, American and Russians whooped, sang, and formed fast friendships. This whole day has been almost too fantastic to believe. From the time a column set out this morning to meet the Russians until dusk settled over the Elbe, the hours were crammed emotional outbursts. It began when an American infantry officer from the 69th Division and a Russian private squirmed across a girder of a blown bridge across the Elbe April 25th. They pounded each other on the back and shook hands to seal this historic meeting. "Put it there," were the first words of Second Lieutenant William Robertson of Los Angeles to his new Red Army friend. The bizarre meeting occurred at 4:40 Wednesday afternoon over the waters of the Elbe, 28 miles northeast of Leipzig. In stark contrast to the happy scene, the road from the Mulde River to the Elbe River is a vivid picture of a defeated Germany. Etched in the faces of the German people fleeing the East is fear, pain, and misery, hoping vainly to find safety within American lines. They stack their belongings in carts that look like they would crumble under the weight of bedding, food, clothing, pots, and pans. Women stumbled along with huge bundles on their backs in the choking dust, just as the people of Belgium and France fled before the German blitzkrieg 5 years ago. One of the strangest sights was the columns of German soldiers marching westward without anyone to guard them, the German army in complete disintegration. But for most of them, there was no chance to enter American lines. Orders were given that those on the Russian side must stay there. East of the Elbe River, this is Don Whitehead calling Berlin. Come in, Eddie Gilmore.
This is Berlin, Eddie Gilmore with the Red Army. Berlin's inner defense corps appears to be cracking today as the Battle of Berlin ends its second week. Marshal Gregory Zhukov's forces in the northwest sector put a massive squeeze on the city's defenses, moving 3 miles forward in the night. The first white Russian army is on the fringes of the famed Tea Garden and in the center of the flaming capital. This was complemented by gains in the south by Marshal Ivan Konev's 1st Ukrainian Army, which has completed the occupation of Berlin's main airport at Tempelhof. The Germans now hold only a third of Berlin. Soviet dispatches describe Berlin as a wilderness of crumbling stone swept by hot winds from the flames of burning buildings. Russian storm units are breaking into the center of the city under clouds of rolling smoke. They say it looks more like a giant junk heap rather than the heart of the capital of the Third Reich. In Berlin, this is Eddie Gilmore calling Rome. Come in, Wes Gallagher.
This is Italy, Wes Gallagher in Rome. Troops of the Fifth Army smashed to within 35 miles of Milan today as the entire Italian front surged forward to seal off the Nazi redoubt in the Alps in the south. There are mounting indications that the Nazis are abandoning Mussolini's black shirt troops to their fate and withdrawing to the German border to join in a Bavarian death stand. Americans broke through to capture Verona and are about 100 miles from the Brenner Pass in Austria. That virtually blocks Germans trying to escape from northern Italy. Meanwhile, the whereabouts of El Duce is a mystery. There are various reports of him being captured by partisans or in hiding in a monastery on the Swiss-Italian border. Rome Radio is repeatedly broadcasting that Mussolini has been captured at Pallanza, but the Italian government has not confirmed that report. In Rome, this is Wes Gallagher calling the States. Come in, San Francisco.
This is San Francisco, Lyle C. Wilson at the United Nations Conference. Russian determination to wield decisive, perhaps dominant influence in creation of the World Peace Organization threatened this United Nations Conference today. But the row over who would be chairman was just settled. The job will be rotated among the big four sponsoring nations. Hot tempers and hurt feelings linger here after Soviet Foreign Commissar Molotov blocked the selection of United States Secretary of State Edward Stettinius as chairman. This bickering almost derailed the 46-nation conference. American delegate Senator John Connally of Texas termed it a, quote, picayune-ish thing to scrap about, unquote. By custom, the host country presides over the conference, but the Russians took exception. In earlier negotiations, however, some progress was made. A formula to set up trusteeships in ex-enemy territories was devised through a proposed Security Council. In San Francisco, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
General George S. Patton's Third Army has invaded Austria on a swift advance. The advance cuts off any hope of Hitler's escaping to his Alpine redoubt. War production cutbacks have begun. The War Production Board revealed in its monthly munitions report that the Army and the Air Forces have already begun to cut some arms production, and more cuts are coming. War Production Board Chairman J.A. Krug says that this will mean the shackles will be taken off some of the civilian goods production. This reconversion news overshadowed a major victory in war production. The WPB announced that for the first time in the war, total munitions exceeded its goal. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lewis. Holy smokes, look at the bargains here from Siegel Brothers, Tower Avenue in Superior. For boys. Boy, hey, listen, Mama. Listen to this. For bargains. Suits for big boys aged 12 to 18, $14.95 and up. Sweaters, $3.95 and up. Shoes, $3.95 and up. For any special occasion, these prices are great. Now, for boys aged 4 to 12, shirts, $1 and up. Sweaters, $1.95 and up. And caps, $1 and up. My goodness sake. Boys' union suits, $1.15 a pair. Boys' sanforized longies, just $1.98. That's, of course, all at Siegel Brothers, 1120 Tower Avenue, Superior. Lou?
Mrs. Orrin Smith of Susquehanna Avenue in Superior has been notified through Red Cross channels that her husband was wounded in action in Germany. Corporal Orrin Smith was wounded April the 11th. He's a radio operator with the 12th Armored Division of the 7th Army. Corporal Smith was wounded when an artillery shell exploded near his tank. He entered the Army in October of 1942 and went overseas in September 1944. Mrs. Smith and her son David are making the home with her parents, Mr. and Mrs. David Olson. Word has been received from the War Department by Mr. and Mrs. George Boyer of East 4th Street that their son is missing in action. Private First Class John Boyer has been missing since April the 18th. His wife, Rose, lives in Superior. Memorial services are set today at the Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church for Private First Class Walter Brown of Superior. The 19-year-old Marine was wounded at Iwo Jima and died March the 15th. The Reverend George Santee will officiate. Good news for some parents in Ashland. Mr. and Mrs. James Mockler of Beezer Avenue have been notified that their son, 23-year-old Private Richard Mockler, has been liberated from a German prison camp by General Patton's Third Army. Private Mockler was taken prisoner in December during the Battle of the Bulge and was liberated April the 2nd. His parents have been told that he's headed home now. An air medal has been awarded to Staff Sergeant Stanley Davidowski of Superior. Sergeant Davidowski is an aerial gunner on a B-24 Liberator bomber. He's flown several bombing runs over Italy, Germany, Austria, and the Balkans. A Superior man has been decorated by the United States and France. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
It's kind of a mysterious story, Lou. Colonel George Hathaway has been awarded the Croix de Guerre by the French Army and the Bronze Star by the U.S. Army. The thing is, he hasn't told his wife what he did, so we don't know. These high awards came as the 7th Army smashed through Germany. Colonel Hathaway is with the 7th. He landed in France on D-Day plus 30 and in October was assigned to General Alexander Patch's 7th Army. The 7th has been the battering ram which has smashed through Germany's vital regions. He is now stationed at a place called Dachau. Mrs. Hathaway has written her husband asking him to let her know the details, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Good communications is an important thing in a good marriage. The Ashland City Council had its reorganization meeting Tuesday night. Outgoing Mayor Gus Johnson handed the gavel over to the new mayor, Harry Van Gilder. Mayor Johnson was defeated by Mr. Van Gilder in the spring election. The highest budget bill in Wisconsin's history has been sent to Governor Walter Goodland for his signature. Capitol reporter John Powell reports from Madison.
The two-year budget bill totals $83 million, $5 million more than the last biennial budget. What isn't part of the budget is increasing old age pensions from $40 a month to $50 a month. What did make the budget is a pay raise for the legislators. They increased their annual pay from $2,400 to $3,000. Bill sponsor Senator Anthony Goronski of Milwaukee says this will shorten sessions because legislators can afford to work six-day weeks in Madison now. Senators Warren Knowles and Melvin Laird lead the opposition to the pay raise. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Finally, Jack and good listeners, the USS Phoebe Nutt splashed into the waters of Superior Bay today at the Butler Shipyard. The launching ceremony featured the Walter Butler Band and the Butler Balladeers, Jack.
Thank you, Lou Martin. The newsman who makes the biggest splash when he jumps in the lake. And oh, those balladeers can harmonize. Boy, oh boy, they like singing those ship ahoy numbers. Yarr! Sailing the seven seas, mateys. Yarr!
If we can reel in Captain Q, it's weather time.
Right, matey.
There's a pirate in me, too, folks. Let's check that forecast for this Friday, April 27th, 1945. It's going to get warmer with showers tonight and sunshine tomorrow with a high of 55 degrees. It's music time. Let's kick things off with the Charioteers and Running Wild in the Martin and McKenna Show.
No gal will ever make a fool of me. No gal, I mean just what I say. I'm not the simpleton I used to. to be. Wonder how I got that way. Once I was full of sentiment, it's true. But now I've got a thrill heart. With all that other foolishness I'm through, gonna play.
Control,
running wild,
mighty bold,
feeling gay,
reckless too, every mile, all the time, never blue,
always going,
don't know where,
always showing,
I don't care,
don't love nobody,
it's not worthwhile,
I'm all alone,
running wild,
I'm running wild, lost a foe, running wild, mighty bold, feeling gay. Every mile, all the time, never
I'm just running wild.
The Charioteers and Running Wild on station KUWS. There are new homes for veterans of World War II through the GI Bill, you know, folks. Killeen and Willie Construction Company invites all veterans to use this service, which includes help in finding the building site, architectural services, arranging for financing, and even drawing up the construction contract. Free estimates, absolutely no obligation. Killeen and Willie at 1716 Winter Street in Superior, with a special deal for returning veterans looking ahead to post-war life. And doesn't that sound good? Here's one for those who haven't returned yet. This is Eddie Condon and his Jazz All-Stars with Hot Lips Page and Uncle Sam Blues on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Woman, but he sure can take your man. Uncle Sam ain't no woman, but he sure can take your man. Women wringing their hands and a crying all over the land. I know you cry for me, baby. Pray for me every night. I know you cry for me, baby. And pray for me every night. With you in my corner, Lord knows everything's all right. Well, Fritz and told you. Y'all got themselves in a jam. Well, Fritz, I told you. Y'all got themselves in a jam. They gotta go now. Crossing up my Uncle Sam. Thank you.
Eddie Condon and his Jazz All-Stars, featuring Hot Lips Page and Uncle Sam Blues on station KUWS.
Now my favorite part of the day, the lovely Miss Harriet Farig with At the Theaters. Evening, Harriet.
Oh, Lewis, I have a great surprise for you. It'll be fun.
Sounds like trouble for Lewis.
Jack, really, Raymond's Music is offering dance lessons tonight, and then they'll have an amateur jitterbug contest.
I don't think so.
Oh, you think it over, Lewis. It'll be fun. There are so many fine motion pictures in town this weekend, everybody. The Beacon is playing Belle of the Yukon with Randolph Scott, Gypsy Rose Lee, Dinah Shore, and Bob Burns. It has everything. Gay singing and dancing, warm romance, and lusty drama. Roaring fun in the Gold Rush days. The Beacon also has a color cartoon, a sports reel, and a newsreel. The Superior Theater has a double feature tonight with The Mayor of 44th Street, starring George Murphy and Anne Shirley, and In the Meantime, Darling, with Frank Lattimore and Mary Nash for just 35 cents, 12 cents for the kids. The big picture show tonight, everybody, is Playing at the Palace. Your favorite Mr. and Mrs. find themselves in the middle of a murder mystery. William Powell and Myrna Loy star in MGM's The Thin Man Goes Home. I love the Thin Man movies, especially their little doggy-doo, Asta.
Ah, he's a cowardly dog. He runs whenever anyone pulls a gun.
Which makes him a smart dog.
It'll be a hoot, boys. Another hoot is jitterbugging, Lewis.
You don't understand, Harriet. About Lou, I mean.
I understand, Lewis.
Not if you're asking him to learn to jitterbug.
Newsmen don't jitterbug.
I saw a news guy try jitterbugging once. It was ugly.
We suspended him from the News Guild. Jitterbugging is undignified for a newsman.
It took Lou until the 30s to learn the Lindy Hop. Although when he did it, it was more of the Lindy Stumble.
I'll foxtrot, like usual, Harriet.
Oh, who wants to foxtrot like an old fogey? I want a jitterbug.
I'll work on him for you, Harriet. We'll get old twinkle toes out there on the dance floor yet.
There's nothing twinkly about my toes.
Here's Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five and the General Jumping at Dawn on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Said the general to the captain,
Pops,
we're gonna cause a commotion. Then one early morn day up and gone, the general jumped at dawn. Said the captain to the private,
man, we're gonna flannel this here channel.
Then one early morn day up and gone, the general jumped at dawn. Bye-bye.
I'll see you in the sky at Versailles.
Barbecue in old Berlin, said the private to the general.
Jack, my jeep, it's jumping, it's steady.
Then one early morn day up and gone, the general jumped at dawn.
Now the general had a million men of every creed and belief, the white, the yellow, the black man, and the Indian too. He said, you boys are groovy fellas, all American men. Now you boys are plenty plump, and then the general jumped. He took a guy called Ensign Swanson, Boston Rosenberg too, Corporal Kelly, Morelli, just to mention a few. Lieutenant Jordan, Sergeant Jackson were all on the call. Said, we're going on the road, you really
on the ball. To help General Eisenhower jump that dawn.
Mr. Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five and the General jumped at dawn on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, you should give the jitterbugging a shot.
I don't think so. It's not something I'd be able to do without massive embarrassment. I looked up in Life magazine. It says that jitterbugging is a wild and acrobatic jive.
Well, you may be right. None of those words fit you.
I'm putting my foot down.
That's the only dance step you've got down pat.
Let me introduce Douglas County Farm Agent Claude Ebling with This Week in Farming.
I'm all for jitterbugging. All we farmers are great dancers. Don't you know? We learn from the chickens.
Chickens?
Oh, they can J-I-V-E, jive. We call the chicken trot.
So maybe we'll have This Week in Farm Dancing?
Once again, Mr. Claude Ebling with This Week in Farming.
Oh, you can call me Bertie. Everyone calls me Bertie. Short for Bertram, you know.
You said that last week, too, and it doesn't make any sense. Your first name is Claude.
Yeah, I know. Heck of a thing, lad. Yeah, well, anywho, yeah, it's time to talk turkey about farming. That is, if you raise turkeys. I can be a humorous, too, guys.
A regular funny guy, that Bertie.
Ah, it's the fresh air, the healthy life of being on the farm. There's a certain spirit when a fella digs in the soil, plants the earth, raises his own food. Oh, yes, sirree, Bob. Farmers are vital to this war effort. That's why the local draft board's hesitant to take a man off his farm. Now, carrying a pitchfork and a hoe is sometimes as important as carrying a rifle, don't you know? But the draft board's looking for reclassifying some of our fellows. They could get drafted yet, what with the shortage of making draft quotas and all. Heck of a thing, that.
Heck of a thing what?
Heck of a thing. That's what. Say, I got three letters from Boys in the Service. Seaman First Class Vernon Jondro writes from somewhere in the Pacific that he bought a piece of land near Brule. Says that's where he'll make his future when he gets back. Seaman Jondro's been all over the world, but don't you know he still thinks this neck of the woods is tops. The Downey farm at Patterson Park misses one of its favorite sons, Lyle Downey of the Air Corps. Yeah, funny thing that, huh? He misses the Downey farm. Wrights can't wait to get back. In the meantime, I can tell you what, Brother Roy Downey's holding up his end here at home. Yes, sirree, Bob.
Roy, you mean, yes, sirree, Roy.
Oh, you got me there, fella. Army man Richard Bilstein writes from the Pacific, too. Says he'll be back soon enough and can't wait. When he returns, he'll plant his own 40 acres. Says he can't wait to try out 6 new varieties of soybeans.
That's the darndest thing, a soldier dreaming of soybeans.
Oh, you know a heck of a thing, that.
And that, sir, is that. Thank you, Claude.
Oh, call me Bertie.
Douglas County Farm Agent with This Week in Farming.
Remember, fresh air, health, spirit, all down on the farm.
Heck of a thing, that. On with the music, friends. Just for our charismatic farm guy. Let's enjoy a new one from Johnny Mercer on the 1945 Hit Parade. This is Personality on the Martin and McKenna Heck of a Thing Show.
When Madame Pompadour was on a ballroom floor, said all the gentlemen, obviously, the madam has the cutest personality. And think of all the books about Du Barry's looks. What was it made of, the toast of Paris? She had a well-developed personality.
What did Romeo see in Juliet, or Pierrot in Pierrette, or Jupiter in Juno?
You know. And when Salome danced and had the boys entranced, no doubt it must have been easy to see that she knew how to use her personality.
Well, and never sit on a boss's settee unless she's got a perfect personality. A girl can get somewhere in spite of stringy hair or even just a bit bored at the knees. If she can show a faultless personality.
Why are certain girls offered certain things like sable coats and wedding rings by men who wear their spats right?
That's right. So don't you say I'm smart and have the kindest heart. Oh, what a wonderful sister I'd be.
Just tell me how you like my
personality.
Baby, you've got the cutest
personality.
Johnny Mercer's new number, Personality, on station KUWS.
You know, Lewis, Braham's Music has dance instructors.
I don't trust those dance instructors.
Just too smooth, suave, and handsome.
Jack! I'm talking about someone to show Lewis how to do the steps. Not me, but they are handsome.
I'm too Scandinavian to be able to jive in a wild, acrobatic way.
He's right, you know. He needs more Scottish and Irish blood.
Well, I won't beg. I hear that nice Jimmy Payton at WDSM or Earl Hinton at WEBC might be there, too.
Those guys. Hey, your toes wouldn't stand a chance.
Nevertheless.
You still putting your foot down, Lewis?
Absolutely. And the other foot, too.
In a wild, acrobatic way?
Yep. Maybe if I wear sunglasses, no one will recognize me and I won't get kicked out of the guild.
I'll be going to after I go home and get my camera. That's it, folks. Stay tuned for The People Who Are Funny. Or just watch Lewis tonight. The Eldridge Family and Danny Kaye. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. And the Lewis jitterbug doesn't prove fatal. For Lou Martin and Harriet Farig, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Joel Anderson, John Munson, John Munsell, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.